It's steadfast. It's there. And we can count on it. As times change, as hearts grow darker in sin, we have an anchor. We have an anchor. Hey, our scripture reading is in Galatians 3, 6 through 14. You find that. And then, I told you that we were going to be done with the topic of marriage on our Sunday evenings. What is the truth about? And some of you have filled in some questions. And I want to address the first one of those that came in this evening. And I told you I would always let you know in the morning what I am taking in the evening, just in case you're the one filled in the card and you don't normally come back on Wednesday night. So here's the question. Here's the question. If a person rejects salvation before the rapture, will they get a second chance after the rapture to be saved? We're going to address that this evening. We're going to be starting in the direction of a few Sunday evenings with topics connected to with the Holy Spirit. This is one of those topics, and that's the one we do want to look at this evening. All right, Galatians chapter 3, you've got verse 6 ahead of you there. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. The just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I trust the Lord will be able to have our hearts prepared. Lord willing, I hope we can look at these verses this morning, and let's look to Him at this time in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, how we do thank you that we can stand before you, your people, by faith. Not by any works which we have done, but completely by faith. Every one who is a true believer has put their faith and trust in the finished work of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what He did for us. We ask, Lord, that you would work in our midst as we anticipate the truth of this. I pray your Holy Spirit would be able to fill, control, lead me, bring to my remembrance what I have prepared, what I have studied, what I have meditated on. Enable me to put it forth in such a way that understanding could occur in the hearts of each one, and that we might take something away from this place that has been good for our growth, it's been good for our hearts, our lives, and it's something that has brought glory to you. Heavenly Father, we pray for our nation. Our hearts are heavy, our hearts are grieved, as we were so in hopes that there would be such a major upset nationwide in realms like the Senate and the House. There would be a great transfer of power from one party's hands to the next. How we had anticipated and hoped and prayed that some of these wicked proposals would be defeated. But Father, as the numbers were counted and the tallies and the reports were given, the report is that the hearts of the people in this nation are exceedingly sinful. And Father, it just seems as though the hearts of the people are satisfied with those that we have in position, and we just ask, Lord, that you would help us as your children to stand for the truth despite laws that have been passed, despite people reelected, put back in office that we didn't feel had our country or our state's best at heart whatsoever. But you are the one that put them in place, and you hold us responsible for holding them in the place of respect for their office. Lord, we pray that you would work your purposes. We know you had that election nationwide go according to your purposes. That election was not out of your power, it was not out of your hands, but you orchestrated it exactly as you choose. Lord, we trust you. Help us to look unto you. We are anticipating the shout. We are anticipating the trumpet sound. More and more as we see things shaping up, we tell ourselves, our Lord's return must be getting so close. Help us to be faithful, Lord. We thank you that now we have this time before us. Be in control. We'll thank you now in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, we will start there. We saw last week that Paul had changed the emphasis that he had in chapters 1 and 2, where he was defending the gospel. He changed it to describing and developing it in chapters 3 and 4. He started by asking his readers a series of questions in those first 5 verses to get them to see that the right stand that they had with God came not by the works of the law, but purely by faith. He then referred to Abraham in verse 6, whose righteousness was also by faith. And with that as his starting point, we want to pick up today. We said we would come back, carry this a little bit further. We wanted to spend more time with the truth that we saw in verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. But wait a minute, I'm not a Jew. Doesn't say you're a Jew. If you are of genuine faith, you are one of the children of Abraham. And as we think about this, with this as our starting point, For you note takers, let's call number one. Paul talks a lot about our spiritual connection to Abraham. Our spiritual connection to Abraham. And we're going to be in verses 6 through 9, and we're going to be in verses 26 through 29. Now, this connection that he mentions, I just mentioned for you in verse 7. They which are of faith are the children of Abraham. Look at verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with the faithful or the believing Abraham. Drop over to verse 26. You are the children of God by what? Faith in Christ Jesus. In verse 28, there is no Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And verse 29, if you are in Christ, then, here it is again, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. How many of you remember that little chorus we used to sing? Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, so are you. So let's all, that's as far as it goes. I'm supposed to start stomping and tromping here, but anyway. You know, that little chorus is based on this portion of Scripture. Maybe you never realized that before, but that's exactly what Paul is teaching us here. That just as Abraham in verse 6, he believed God and it was accounted or credited to him for righteousness, he didn't have to do any works. Everyone, verse 7, who is of faith, the same as the children of Abraham, as we've seen through those verses 9, 26, 27, 28, 29, and so on here. Paul developed this teaching in far greater detail in the book of Romans than he did here in Galatians. And it was at that point that I ended last week. Paul's development in the book of Romans is so important. I couldn't have us just take the closing 5 minutes and hurry through everything and we walk out of here and not really see the importance of this. So, in a moment, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 4. But before we do that, I would like you to turn to John chapter 8. You say, Pastor, you're all over the place today. That's good. Keeps you awake. John chapter 8. Remember, who was it that was giving the Galatians the difficulty that Paul was addressing in his letter? We refer to them as what? Judaizers. These were Jewish people who were known for wanting to do what? Hang on to the law. They were confusing the Galatian Christians, who were Gentiles, by telling them, oh, it's good that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, but you know, you need to observe some of the law of Moses. Particularly for you men, you need to be circumcised and then learn what the law teaches and start living by that. The Judaizers, the Jewish people, were very proud of the father of their nation. And who was that? Abraham. Abraham was the father of the Jews. When our Lord was here on earth during his earthly ministry, time and time again, he addressed the Jewish people and their connection to Abraham. For instance, in John chapter 8, where you have, notice in verse 32, John 8:32, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage or slaves to any man." Duh. What did they call 400 plus years in the land of Egypt? A fairy tale? What did they refer to the Assyrian bondage of the northern 10 tribes? To what did they refer to the 70 years of Babylonian captivity? We have never been in bondage or slavery to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Well, he goes on. He says here in verse 36, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus continues speaking. He said, "I know that you are Abraham's seed. I know that you are descendants of Abraham by blood. But you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father." Who was Jesus referring to when he said, "You're doing the works of your father"? Was he referring to Abraham, like they quoted in verse 33? Let your eyes drop to verse 44 and you see who Jesus said, "You are of your father whom?" The devil. The devil. Look at verse 39. He said, "They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto him, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." But you drop down to verse 44, "You're of your father the devil, and you're doing what the devil wants to do." He said, "Oh yeah, I know Jewish blood is coursing through your vein. I know that connection, but you are not one of his children. You're one of his seed." You do the DNA testing, and yeah, there's Abrahamic blood in your veins, but you're not one of his children. Who are his children? What we see in our text in verse 7, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." The pride of the Jews in behalf, because of their heritage as one of Abraham's descendants. Now, Paul taught a remarkable connection to Abraham by every believer in Romans chapter 4. Now turn to Romans 4. This remarkable connection every true believer in Christ has to Abraham. And maybe you're going to be sitting here and you might say, I never knew this before. I never heard that before. That's all right. Aren't you thankful for God's word to teach us and instruct us and to show us what is real? So, as we look at this connection to Abraham by every believer, let's begin chapter 4 of Romans, verse 1. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Now, he was writing to Jews or Gentiles when he says Abraham our father. Jews. He was writing to the Jews there in Rome, and he said, what are we going to say about our father according to the flesh? What did he find? He says, if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof or something to glory, but not before God. What saith the scripture? Verse 3. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned or considered of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision Jews only, or upon the uncircumcision Gentiles also? For we say that faith was reckoned or counted unto Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, being yet uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Hear you. That he might be the father of all them that what? Believe. Galatians 3:7. Those that are of faith are the children of Abraham. And he received that sign that he might be the father of all that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of the circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of that faith that our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16, therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only that which is of the law, those that are truly Jews by blood, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Father Abraham had many sons, and I am one of them. Are you? I'd like us to go back and just get some highlights from these verses here in chapter 4. For instance, we go back to verse 2. What he says is, if Abraham were justified by works, and we could just supply the word then. If then. You know, we like to do that sometimes, don't we? If that's how he could be justified by works, why, then he could boast. Look at what I did. Look at what my efforts have accomplished. But what's verse 3 tell us? He just simply did what? He believed. God had made some remarkable promises to him. We went through those last Sunday. We're not going to look again. We saw it in chapter 12 of the book of Genesis, the first three verses. We saw it in chapter 13. We saw it in chapter 15 of Genesis. God was promising glorious things to Abraham, and he took God at his word, and he began to live his life believing what God had said to him. Notice in verses 4 and 5 of Romans 4, God rewards faith, not works. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, verse 4, but of debt. But the one that just believes, that one is justified for his faith. That's what God blesses. In verses 6 through 8 of Romans 4, David also wrote of the benefits of faith versus works. You see, Paul started out by talking about Abraham in verses 1 through 5, but in verses 6 through 8, Paul introduced another one. And it was David who referred to the benefits of faith versus works, where in Psalm 32, 1 and 2, part of that is, blessed is to man, is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. We go back to verse 9. And Paul asks, this blessedness, blessed are they, verse 7, whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. In verse 9, Paul asks the question, did this blessedness come only on the Jews, or does it come on the Gentiles, the uncircumcision also? He says, because we always say, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So in verse 10, he says, how then was it reckoned? How was it reckoned? Way back there in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, I think, when it says, Abraham believed God, it was counted unto him. Was he a Gentile? Or was he a Jew? Had he been circumcised at that point when he put his faith and trust in the Lord? Or hadn't he? Do you know? Well, look here. He received, in verse 10, how was it reckoned? Talking about Abraham. when he was circumcised or when he was uncircumcised? Paul answers it, not when he was circumcised. God declared him righteous as an uncircumcised Gentile. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he already had while he was still uncircumcised, so that he might become the father of all them that believe, whether they're circumcised or not. If you do the math and you go back to the book of Genesis, you discover Abraham was 75 years old when God called him, Genesis chapter 12, to leave the land, take his family, go to the place that I'm going to give you, show you, I'm going to make of you a great nation, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless them that bless you, and you will be a source of blessing to all nations. And he went out, 75 years old. Do you know when Abraham was circumcised? When he was 99 years old. 24 years later, after he had already been declared righteous before Isaac, his son, was born. Abraham, age 99, and all of his men servants were circumcised. That's when God instituted the sign of circumcision, after Abraham had already put his faith in the Lord. What's Paul's point in this? Here in Romans, he's teaching this blessed truth that circumcision had nothing to do with the right standing with God. It was a sign of God to God's people that they are to be separate from the sins of the world and separate from the rest of the world. But it did not bring righteousness to Abraham. He had already been in possession of it for 24 years. Now we go back to our text in Galatians. And what was it that these false Judaizers were confusing the Galatian believers by trying to get them to buy into? What was it? You men need to be what? You need to be circumcised, or your faith in Jesus, it's invalid. No! And Paul takes such details in Romans chapter 4 to teach Abraham's stand with God had not one thing to do with circumcision. It was the faith in his heart. And that's all that matters, beloved, for you and me. What a glorious connection Paul speaks of as he talks about this. Note the connection in the middle here. If we look at, once again, Romans chapter 4, we find the connection in verse 11, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them if they believe. That's all that matters. The father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham had when he was uncircumcised. Beloved, what precious truth Romans chapter 4 adds to the text that we've looked at here in Galatians chapter 3. Well, there's more. We could continue on. But I want us to go back to Galatians chapter 3, where we've seen our spiritual connection to Abraham by faith alone in those first 9 verses 6 through 9. and verses 26 through 29. But secondly, I want us to move on to number two, the features of the law. Paul has spent those first nine verses telling us, you know the law, that's not how there was a right stand and relationship as far as Abraham was concerned. But let's look back at Galatians 3 and in verses 10 through 12, let's notice some features of the law. It tells us here, as many are as of the works of the law, verse 10, are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. As far as features of the law, A, it comes with a curse. The law comes with a curse, verse 10. We find here, it says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Let me give you the context of where that quote comes from. It comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27, verse 26. Deuteronomy 27, 26. Let me just read that for you, and then we'll talk context. It says, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people said amen. Do you remember in the days of the children of Israel, God instructed them under Moses' leadership on one occasion, they were to divide the 12 tribes into two groups. Six were supposed to be on one mountain. What mount was it? It was Mount Ebal. Six other tribes were supposed to stand on Mount Gerizim. And those six that stood on Mount Gerizim, they were to say amen when there was a blessing pronounced. Moses would be down in the valley between the two. And those on Gerizim, they would pronounce amen when the blessing, promised blessings would be pronounced. Those on Mount Ebal, they would say amen when a curse was pronounced. So, the context of that Deuteronomy 27 passage is, it was the tail end, the very tail end of those blessings and curses that Moses had read off so the people could confirm what to expect. And the closing one was this portion here in our 10th verse. It's written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You mean, if I faithfully did every one of the points of the law, and by the way, the law is not just 10 commandments here. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the hundreds of them that ultimately were added and were considered the law. You've done every one except one. You mean I'm going to be cursed? All God's people in Deuteronomy said what?
Amen.
Amen. You know, that's a New Testament truth as well. You remember in James chapter 2 what James wrote? in verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is what? Guilty of all." Now, you say, okay, so the features of the law, it comes with a curse. That's not that bad. Can you keep the law? Can you keep it? No one could. That's not the only feature against the law. Let's look at B in verse, let's see here, verse 11. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." What's the second feature of the law? The law could never justify anyone in God's sight. Why? Because that's not how a man is justified in God's eyes. Well, how is a man justified in God's eyes? What's it say in verse 11? "The just shall live by works, by faith." That is a quote from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. It's the first of four times in Scripture that "the just shall live by faith" is recorded. Habakkuk 2:4, number 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, number 2. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, number 3. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, number 4. Four times God brings this before him. This is how a person is declared righteous, not by doing things, but by believing me and my word. So, the features, A, it came with a curse, because nobody could keep all the points. Letter B, works never was the way with a right relationship with God. It was always by faith. C, in verse 12, what do we see here? The law is not of what? Faith. And it's faith that's how a person is declared righteous before God. The law is not faith, of faith, but here's what the law says: "The man that doeth them shall live in them." You see, the law is not of faith, it is a performance-oriented system. It says that "the man that doeth them shall live in them." That is a quote from Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5. Let me get that one for you. Leviticus 18:5. "You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord." You see, the law was written this way: do and live, which would put our justification on our works without any faith or trust in God. It would just simply be, well, I'm doing what the law says. But the problem is, Leviticus 18:5, you had to do them all, just like Deuteronomy 27:26, Cursed if you fail in obeying even one of them. Beloved, at this point, man is desperately hopeless. Don't you agree? What's the use of trying? And Paul was defending the gospel in this third and fourth chapter. The Judaizers had said, Christ isn't enough. You gotta have the law. But the law never was the way to God. And so at this point, number three, we see our Lord's intervention in verses 13 and 14. Our Lord's intervention. Back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. With that law and its requirements hanging over the people's heads, cursed, not of faith, and faith is how to please God, and the fact that it had no reliance upon God whatsoever. Just do them and you live. Do you live, Leviticus 18. God's not even needed. Just do the works, do the works, do the works. Keep his commands, keep the law. Well, people have tried that, but the truth is they've not found God's justification, because that only comes by grace through faith. So what do we see here? What did the Lord do for him? Intervention sounds like the Lord must have done something in our behalf. He did. Look at verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Redeemed us. Two or three different authors suggested that this word redeemed here is one that is not so often used in the New Testament as far as the word redemption. Quite often, redemption has to do with paying a ransom that you redeem them. But this particular meaning is, it means to purchase, to buy up for the purpose of setting the person free. That's why you bought them up. You know, it's possible to buy slaves and plan on keeping them yourself. You could go to the slave market and I want him, I want her to work in my kitchen, I want him working out in my fields. So you pay the price, but you bought them to keep them in bondage. That is not the word that is used here. Christ redeemed us for the purpose of setting us free from the curse. How did he do that? How was he able to set us free from the curse? By becoming cursed in our behalf. He took our place. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 28 is the verse that is the Old Testament reference that is quoted here. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth in a tree. Now my Bible here says 23. I guess I better look to see if I've given you the wrong one or not. Deuteronomy 21. I just noticed in my marginal reference here that it's different. I want to give you the correct one. There are no 28 verses, so sorry about that. Deuteronomy 21:23, it says, he that is hanged is accursed of God. You see, the Jewish manner of executing someone was not normally putting them on a tree anyway. They would quite often just decapitate them. But if they had a special hatred for their enemy that they had put to death, just to scorn them, they would hang them on a tree because of this curse that was pronounced. But they would only hang them for the day. They never left the bodies hanging in that cursed position overnight. What about our Lord? He was nailed to the tree, wasn't he? He became cursed for you and me. Did they leave him there overnight? Nope. They took him down. They buried him in that borrowed tomb. With regards to this, Barnes had this to say when he asked the question, what made this atonement so wonderful, where Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. What made the atonement so wonderful, so glorious, so benevolent? What made it an astonishment at all was that innocence was treated as if it were guilt. Innocence were treated as if it were guilt. That the most pure and holy and benevolent and loving being on earth should consent to be treated and should be treated by God and man as if he were the most vile and ill-deserving. This is the mystery of the atonement. This is the nature of the substituted sorrows. And this lays the foundation for the offer of pardon and for the hope of eternal salvation. And why would he do that? Look at the answer is in verse 14 of our text, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All of these blessings that God promised Abraham are ours in Christ, through faith, not of works. Have you put your faith and trust in the Lord? What a treasure is ours. As we stop and think about even the message title, that's some connection. The fact that all who are of faith in Christ are the children of Abraham, the father of the faithful one. What a portion of Scripture. What a blessing is ours. And I trust the Lord will minister to your hearts as you think about what we've looked at here in our text in Galatians, what we've looked at in that teaching in Romans chapter 4. Thank God for His Word. Let's close in prayer. We are thankful, Father, that we could be here today, and we thank you for the benefit that's ours to have your word, open it up, and to be taught and fed precious truth from your word. Lord, we thank you that you have given this to us as a record. We don't deserve those blessings. We do thank you, though, that you have done everything in our behalf And ours is simply to believe and receive. If any are listening, here in person or out on the line, that have never put their faith and trust in Christ, may they see He is the full and sufficient answer to our sins. It's not in works, striving, trying, but it's simply in accepting the completed work that He's already accomplished. We thank You now in Your name.